Hello, my name is Brennan, and also known as Kiwi, and welcome to the first official episode of KiwiCast. I am here joined with my good friend Nolan, aka Mean Peace. Say hello, Nolan. So sadly, Christian will not be joining us for our first episode because of his current events. So I say we just hop straight into it. Our first topic today is going to be what kind of we want to accomplish with KiwiCast as much as what we want to do with the podcast. For me, it's just going to be a fun way to connect with my friends and kind of get content out there that I can't get out there on my YouTube channel. Me and Nolan have had multiple attempts at trying to create a podcast that we can use. I remember one of the key ones was Meme Talk on my channel, and that really didn't work out. So I'm hoping here we can get more of a sustainable podcast going instead of a kind of off the rails, no schedule, like type of podcast that's not, doesn't have any boundaries. So what I would like to start doing is first episode, or there's guaranteed an episode every Wednesday at around 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. Our time, which is Central Time. We could drop some other episodes along the weekend and throughout the week. But I say we're going to try and go for the solid goal that is Wednesday each week. Like I said, my goals are just kind of creating a more sustainable podcast for everyone that can really enjoy and just get around with my friends. We've just entered Christmas break and we're starting to lose connection because we don't have school as that constant boundary. So I'd like to just keep everybody together while we can. All right, Mean Peace, what do you hope to accomplish? Is there any certain goals that you want to do with the podcast? Here, as far as the podcast goes, I think we're kind of seeing the same eye to eye here. It's not that we're seeking popularity, it's that we're kind of seeking a group or a certain population that we're trying to entertain. That's always been what it was like for me. Being popular was just a bonus. I've always been kind of a natural entertainer, and I think with a podcast, instead of doing YouTube and Twitch, you can go to so many other different places that you can't do on YouTube and Twitch by doing a podcast. And I completely agree with you. This podcast, for me also, is just trying to get our voices out there, trying to get some entertainment out for people. So do you have any other goals that I might be able to build on? And you can obviously say no, this is just a question.
I don't really have a lot of goals of some sort. I kind of just want to have something to do and time of morning.
Yeah, and just have fun.
Yeah, I get bored.
We'll get bored throughout the week, especially, like I said, throughout Christmas break. We don't have these constant things we have to be doing. And I think KiwiCast is going to be a great thing to keep us, you know, kind of in that sense of not being bored, as well as just having fun. Like I said, YouTube is very specific about what goes up on its front page and kind of FYP type of thing. They're very, like I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is they're very judgy about what goes on to their platform. And I think as far as podcast goes, obviously there's rules and regulations we have to follow, but I think here we can express ourselves in different ways that we never could on YouTube. But yeah, my main goal is just to have fun and connect with my friends, and just the whole KiwiCast and being able to post it and share it with all of you, dear viewers, is just trying to give y'all some of the fun that me and my friends have on a day-to-day basis. Alright, well, I think we've really covered what we want to accomplish with the podcast. So let's get into some of our main podcast topics. The first being video games. The first episode could be centered around video games. So, for me, the biggest game that's kind of come back in 2021 has been Fortnite. They have came back. Chapter 2, Season 8 of Fortnite was not wonderful. It was, I'll admit, it had its very bad flaws. But I think in my eyes, it was pretty solid. It had a very basic but simple to understand plot line. Throughout the season, the weapons were a little touch and go. I really liked the addition of the sideways. I wish they would have kept something like that in the new chapter.
Yeah.
We'll have to deal with that later. Fortnite has just kind of went away from the Chapter 2 Season 7 through Chapter 2 Season what? For me, it started to decline in Chapter 2 Season 5. That was when it fell off for me. And you could tell with Chapter 2 Season 8, Fortnite was really trying to sway away from that past bad luck. And they really did it for me with Chapter 3 Season 1. New map, you can't go wrong with a new map. I know a lot of the population of Fortnite wanted the old map back, which is understandable. However, I think the old map had its flaws, and we can't see through those flaws because of nostalgia. I think that's the big thing. I kind of agree with you on that. But I like to think that people look back at the now state of Fortnite, and they think, oh, it was so much better. Now, I'll admit, Chapter 1 was peak Fortnite. It was constant fun for the whole family. But I think we overlook that Fortnite Chapter 1 had its flaws. Instead of people looking through it, through this glass, this eyeglass that is perception and nostalgia, we see past things that we had fun with in a better light than past things that we didn't have fun with. And I think as the chapter goes on, Chapter 3 goes on, I think we'll start to look back on Chapter 2 and realize how much fun we really had as that sort of nostalgia starts to kick in. But yeah, I think that's a very, very bad issue in Fortnite, is everybody looks at Chapter 1 as the highlight of Fortnite. It's because they see that as, because of the nostalgia glasses, they can't look past the wall of nostalgia that is blocking their actual view of the chapter. Now, if Chapter 1 was Chapter 2, people would be going at it like a pack of wild dogs. Because it has its flaws. If you notice, Chapter 2, the smallest things in Chapter 2 was very taken advantage of. Where the biggest plot holes in Chapter 1 was just kind of ignored. I think we focused a lot harder on Chapter 2 because we think it's off of. Chapter 1 was like our set of rules, or kind of what the peak Fortnite would be like. Was setting along the rules of what a good chapter would look like. And I think those rule books are kind of flawed, in my eyes. I'm not saying that Chapter 1 isn't a good baseline chapter, but it's that we should look at the good and the bad from it and learn how to improve off of it.
Yeah.
But back to Chapter 2, or back to Chapter 3, Season 1. This has been a great season so far. We have until March 22, so we're gonna stick it out and see if Epic does something dumb in that time. But in my books, Epic has done a really good job with Chapter 3, Season 1. Now, for me, the peak Fortnite was Chapter 2, Season 2. It was new stuff, but not enough to drown you in. It wasn't too little stuff to where YouTubers and content creators were craving for content. But it wasn't too much that the average player couldn't decipher all of it, you know?
Yeah.
They added NPCs, the biggest win in my books. You can see the bosses were a really big hit in my opinion. We had a great map. They took everything good about Chapter 2, Season 1, and just built on it. The mythic weapons, they weren't overpowered, but they weren't like a normal gun. Well, except a couple of them, Bruiser's minigun, and Sky's mythic assault rifle. But other than that, it seemed like a pretty baseline. Yeah, I remember us making that video of why the Boombo is overpowered.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Chapter 2, Season 2 is a very, very good best season impression.
Well, yeah, I think, working on the next couple seasons, maybe this one, I think they took a little bit of inspiration from it. I think that Chapter 2, Season 2 is a very good chapter to kind of use it as an example of what a good chapter would be like, along with some different other chapters. I don't want to keep like talking about it later all the time, but especially with, you know, like bosses, the different places you can go.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, there was a lot of diversity. The people who wanted to hide and stuff, the campers could go up to places like Deadpool's yacht. There wasn't a lot of people that went there, and they could kind of move their way down the map. But the more aggressive players were able to go to the agency. So the really aggressive people who wanted a big fight, they knew where to go. And I think that might have been one of the high points for Fortnite Chapter 2, Season 2, was that there was a little bit of everything for everyone. For the sweats, there was plenty of hot drops. For the campers and the kind of average people, they could just go the other locations, like the grotto. I actually, the grotto is one of the high points in my books as Chapter 2, Season 2 goes. Hashtag bring back the grotto. But that was one of my favorite seasons. Now, don't get me wrong, Chapter 2, Season 2 had its flaws. Henchman aimbot. But I think the really good thing they did with especially bosses like Brutus, who had these mythic miniguns and stuff, they weren't hard to kill. Like, they'd be annoying, especially Brutus with his spam minigun. I cannot imagine that in today's times. He wasn't too hard to kill. He was just annoying to kill.
He's not impossible to kill. If you're by yourself, you can do it. But it's hard. He has a lot of health. And he doesn't really have too much aimbot. It's just a thing we all know is his butthole rock that he just and he sits straight towards you and a whole day you know that you don't do like 100 damage. And he makes him really hard to kill, but it makes it a challenge. But we all know that really impossible challenge is Wolverine.
Yes.
From trying to kill him.
Wolverine was a big one. I think that Fortnite really learned from their mistakes. They've done a very good job of learning from their mistakes, Fortnite has. They've learned how to make bosses enjoyable. And, you know, I think I have a feeling Chapter 3 is going to be very good. Because the Epic now has 2 chapters of experience under its belt. And I think they're kind of just mushing Chapter 1 and 2. Just taking all the bad out of it and just throwing it away and just smashing all the good parts together. That's really worked. Now, I was really scared going into Chapter 3. Because of Epic, I was scared that Epic was going to take a look at Chapter 1 things that worked, and then take a look at Chapter 2 things and just kind of mush them together. Here's the thing. Chapter 1, don't get me wrong, was a great season. Chapter 1 was a great chapter. But it had, our views have changed. We've all grown up. The 8-year-olds that were playing Fortnite Chapter 1 are now, what, 11, 12? Which is sad, because I was scared that Epic was going to look at what worked in Chapter 1 and think that would work with us now. And Fortnite, in my opinion, has done a very good job of adapting to its population of gamers. I think that they've done a very good job of realizing, hey, these guys have grown up. They don't like the same things they used to.
Yeah.
They've done a very good job of that. But Chapter 1, or Chapter 3, Season 1, has been phenomenal. The rotation of Spider-Man's web-slingers is not broken like Sky's grappler.
Yeah.
But it is fluent, and you enjoy it. It's not with Sky's... nothing was wrong with Sky's grappler. It was awesome. But with Spider-Man's web-slingers, they've added kind of a more fluent mobility option, which I really, really love. I really love the web-slingers, obviously, because I'm a Spider-Man fan, but also because they were a great addition to Fortnite in the sense they aren't overpowered.
Yeah, I really don't know what you mean. I have a personal opinion about them. And I know a lot of people disagree. But I feel like they should give them some buff of some sort, change according to them. But make it to where there's only one of them that you can get from an NPC. And I know that a lot of people disagree, it's just it feels wrong to me. Maybe like 20 even having the Spider-Man NPC.
Okay, I agree with you slightly. And like I said, this is a podcast. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. If they don't feel like something's right, then they should speak up and say it. We're not going to maul each other like a pack of wild dogs, even though you think I will, Nolan. But I agree with you in a sense. I like the limit on the web-slingers. Only because people cannot abuse them. Now, infinite ammo is kind of like the 80 ammo that we already have on the web-slingers. You're never going to run out of ammo on the web-slingers. But I think adding that sense of ammo really made it to where the players felt like it was more scarce to find than it really was. Which, props to Fortnite, it worked. But it's not to the point where people are abusing them. Now, I agree with you also on the limiting the amount of web-slingers around the map. I don't think there should be one pair. I disagree with that. I think there should be more than one pair, but not 40 pairs. That really bothered me.
I'm feel like there could be here if they were getting a boss. Maybe if you were to shoot someone, it would like wrap around them to like
to kind of restrain them.
Maybe you could like
from building or something, how does it make you like make it to where to the point where they kind of just sit there and walk around? Maybe like
slow them down. I think it would make it to where there was one of them and then it kind of like let it into the way they
around
and it could make it to where there could be one. But yeah, I totally agree with you.
Well, yeah, but when you think about I agree with you in the sense that we can't add them as just one with the circumstances that are on the web slingers now. We'll have to add something like you said, like an ability to restrain people for a certain amount of time. But I can see why Epic didn't go that route. It would be very hard to make everybody happy with that.
Like yeah, they did. You gotta appreciate them for trying something new.
Yeah, and you can tell the Epic went out of their comfort zone, which is kind of a thing that's annoyed me and a lot of other Fortnite players, is Fortnite keeps doing the same old for each season, just rebranding it. The combat AR is the exact same as the heavy AR from Chapter 1.
Except worse.
Except worse. but yeah, I think that if they added a restraining feature, there could be one or two pairs around the map. Now, I don't think, even if we add the restrain ability, I don't think there should be just one. I think there should be around three. What, maybe one with the normal Spider-Man, one with the symbiote, and then Tom Holland Spider-Man. All just kind of scattered out throughout the map. Instead of just having one pair in the Daily Bugle, it'll be very scarce, and I think that a lot of people won't be able to enjoy them because of people just kind of. Go ahead. Okay. Actually, just thinking about your idea with the one pair of web slingers, I can see why Epic went the route with multiple, because if you think about it, if there's just one pair of web slingers, people can abuse that so much with the tents. They can stick the one pair of web shooters in the game into their tent to where nobody can get them. And they could make it to where when you walk into a game, you don't even have to kill the NPC. You can just go to your tent and get it. I'm not counting you wrong or anything, but I'm just saying I can see why Epic didn't go that route.
Yeah,
it's very the rock. Yeah.
It still is one thing that's just a better version of another thing. Mm-hmm. Like Zavatron,
that's
just Zavatron.
Yeah. All right, we're running out of time on this segment, so let's kind of wrap up. Fortnite, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We're not done with the podcast. We're just moving on to our next topic. But in my conclusion,
back when you were talking about how they could make about like three of them with a different Spider-Man, I personally think it'd be a really awesome idea and a good way to keep people playing is if they were to make three different Spider-Man.
Yeah, kind of like a strategy type play. Instead of just jumping in and deciding, hey, I just want the mobility web slingers, you can actually have a... And I think that's a big part for most people, is Fortnite doesn't have enough strategy involved to it.
Yes, that is very true.
You can't drop into a game and say, You just kind of have to drop into a game and say YOLO. Unlike people who play Call of Duty Rebirth, you have a set route. You can go in, drop recon zone, or decon zone, my bad, and just go to your normal route. You can just search the building, get enough cash, get a loadout. And I think Fortnite doesn't have enough of that. And if you add your idea of the web-slingers, it makes it very, very easy for people to strategically play the game instead of just jumping out of the bus and going YOLO. So yeah. I agree with you on that a lot. So in conclusion, wrapping up this topic, Fortnite Chapter 3 is great. Nostalgia is very a key part in Chapter 1's success, and Fortnite is good. Alright, so moving on to our next topic, Pokemon. Alright, so... Thank you, Nolan. That was very needed. So, I just recently got into Pokemon. I recently got Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, and it is my first Pokemon game other than Pokemon Go. Which I think everybody at some point learned Pokemon Go. But I believe that, Pokemon is a very overlooked type of community. Now, don't get me wrong, Pokemon has its, has a very girthy community. But I think, to the people who play a lot of Call of Duty and Fortnite, Pokemon's kind of this overlooked kind of joke in the community, you know? Which I think is very, very awful, because in my books, Pokemon is one of my favorite games to play as of now. I'm sure that'll change once I beat the Elite Four and beat the game. However, as of now, it is my favorite Pokemon game. And I would like to get interested in Nuzlocke and other things involving Pokemon. But I doubt it's going to happen. Because it could be just one of my ADHD phases where I'm in it for like a month and then I'm just out of it. But I actually think I'm going to stick around with Pokemon. And I think Pokemon, like I said, it has a very good community, but it's kind of also the joke in the gaming community. There's a couple of groups that I would really recommend Pokemon to, certain communities. I would say Animal Crossing community. I think they would like Pokemon very much, just because of its kind of similar chill nature, but not to where it's boring, because of battles and encounters and stuff. Some other people I would say, just some big story people. Now, you play one game of Pokemon and you pretty much get the story. You're a young boy who wants to become a Pokemon trainer, you find a professor in trouble, you take one of his Pokemon, use it to battle, and then the story progresses pretty much the same from there. However, I do recommend everybody give it a shot. It is very worth it. I really think it is worth it for people to just try at least. I think it's a good kind of strategy game that those people, those COD players crave, and other game players crave. Pokemon involves a lot of strategy, especially if you're coming against a big, hard, very hard gym battle. Like certain water types your team might be effective against, or, as of now, right now I'm stuck on the, water type gym. There is a Pokemon that I can just not get around, and it's annoying. But I think, Pokemon's a very overlooked game. Now, Nolan, I know you've been in the Pokemon community a lot longer than I have, starting to collect cards and stuff. So how did you get into Pokemon?
That's kind of when it set me off mainly, is that playing Pokemon Go for a while, kind of much about their Pokemon games. And Pokemon is just a satisfying game.
Yeah, but the thing about Pokemon is it's a very basic recurring thing, but there's also a lot of changing variables that I think is very important. Your starter, you can always change your starter for different games. Usually most games have a different starter. You don't know what encounters you're gonna get. Maybe one time you'll just run into a level 40 Machomp in the desert. And you're just like, I'll take that. But like, there's a lot of moving variables in Pokemon that you can never really set yourself into, to where it's kind of like a quicksand. It's kind of like a quicksand in a way, where you know what it's gonna do, but it doesn't do it in the exact way you think it's gonna do it. Like, people view quicksand. I've actually experienced quicksand before at a zoo before, which is really cool. I didn't know they had quicksand at zoos. But I was able to drop a penny into it. And the way it works is very weird. I'm going off topic here, but quicksand, usually when you think about quicksand, it's just, it demolishes you straight away and sucks you under. Actually, it took about 5 minutes for that penny to go under the quicksand because of it was not moving. And we just kind of sat there, just my 6-year-old self, and just watched it, and I was just like, bro, what's happening, bro? But yeah, like, you expect quicksand to just take you straight under even if you're not moving. But I think Pokemon's just kind of the exact same way. You expect the exact same game, but you're gonna change some stuff up. Maybe you'll battle a trainer, and you'll have to go back to the Pokemon Center again to refill your Pokemon's life. I've done that at least 4 times in an hour, which is props to me. Skill.
Mm-hmm.
Hold up. This is what we're gonna use the new soundboard for, boys. I love that new soundboard. It's actually awesome. I recommend it to everyone, except you don't know which one to buy. Just buy a soundboard. It's good. But for me, I kind of got into Pokemon a long time ago. I had this, like, Pokemon phase with Pokemon Go where all I did was Pokemon Go for, like, a year, which is very long for me. I've never made a commitment that long in my life. But I think looking at, like, I started playing Pokemon Go, and around the same time was when you started collecting cards, and I started playing Pokemon Go before you, and you started collecting cards, and I was like, dang, and all of a sudden you just had this mountain of cards, and I was just like, okay then. So I got out of Pokemon as soon as you started doing Pokemon Go, and now you're just obsessed with Pokemon. You're not obsessed, but you're like, you know a lot about it. Kind of like how I know a lot about superheroes and stuff. You're just kind of like my Pokemon guy, and you've been talking about Pokemon a lot at school and stuff because of Pokemon Sword and Shield. You have Sword, right?
I have Shield.
Okay, you have Shield. You started talking about Pokemon Shield a lot. And it kind of got me into the game, and I noticed on the eShop, there was a Pokemon Brilliant Diamond was 30% off, which is nice, which was actually $20 off, so I only paid $40 for Pokemon Brilliant Diamond. Yeah. That was really nice, because it was really, Brilliant Diamond's been a gentle introduction to, like, real Pokemon, but it hasn't been over the top, like, it slams you straight into the game to the point where you're gonna, like, drown in all the plot and stuff. But I say you get that with, like, every Pokemon game, though. You kind of get a gentle introduction, like a bird carrying you down to down to the ground, unlike a bird, unlike if you were, unlike other games like Let's Go Eevee, that kind of just you grab onto the bird and it just takes you straight to the ground. That was a real knee slapper, wasn't it, guys? I'm just playing.
Yeah. Just the games in general, the fact that they don't over, like, drown you with stories and stuff. I just all about Pokemon getting to evolve random.
Yeah, and I think after you've played the first one or two Pokemon games, is when you're really ready to start, when you're after you play your first two Pokemon games, I think that's when you're ready to start going into cards and stuff. You know enough Pokemon to, not be uncomfortable with the subject. You know enough to be able to judge most cards, but still to the point where you can learn different Pokemons from cards. And like I said, you're not gonna learn all of the, 800 Pokemon in just two games. There's obviously different regions.
I don't even know half their names. I probably don't even know
Yeah, but there's always been kind of that Pokemon passion inside of me. That I think kind of recently happened, because here's the big thing about, gaming for me. I've started to get out of gaming a lot. Now, I still play my video games. I still clock a couple hundred hours every week, but I think it's to the point where I'm starting to kind of glide out of gaming, and, I've actually gotten a new thing that I've actually started to try and learn about is animating. I love animating. I love animators on YouTube. Don't we all? Some of my favorites and recommendations are Yong Yong Tales and Jaden Animations. Yong Yong is overlooked, but he's wonderful. But I think Pokemon, as soon as I started watching these animators, I watched Jaden Animations' Pokemon Nuzlocke video. And that kind of really pushed me over the edge wanting to play Pokemon. And I think Pokemon, not only did it get me back into, like, watching YouTube and stuff, because for me, I've just been watching a lot of TikTok. And TikTok is cool, but it's not really that good to binge. But it kind of got me back into YouTube. And also, Pokemon, the Pokemon Brilliant Diamond game, kind of grabbed myself, who was trying to walk out of gaming, and slammed me back where I started. I've now clocked. I have my Switch here. Let me check. I've now clocked. Ooh, there's an update for Pokemon Brilliant Diamond. That's nice. I've now clocked over 15 hours in Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, which doesn't sound like that much, but considering I've only had it for like a week. It actually says that I've clocked more than 16 hours on the game when I gotta save it. So, yeah, you can tell I've liked Pokemon for a while now. But one of the downsides in my book of Pokemon is, gym battles. Now, I get that it's, like, the big part of the story. However, recently I had to fight the water-type gym. And I was not the water type, but it was fairy type. And my team is not at all prepared for a fairy type. So I immediately lost. The only good move I had was Flame Wheel that was on my Monferno that actually got a couple of hits on the Pokemon before he absolutely slammed all of my Pokemon in the ground. And it sent me all the way back to the Pokemon Center across the map, instead of just sending me to the one in that town. Oh, that made me mad. What did I just do there? That. But yeah, that was the. Like, it's really annoying when you get sent back all the way across the town. of Pokemon. It's just really hard to deal with, and it's really annoying to deal with. Nolan, I haven't given you much time to talk. Do you want to talk any about anything, really? Okay.
What is your favorite part about Pokemon?
What is my favorite part about Pokemon? I don't know.
Yes.
There's a lot of good things about Pokemon. There's not a real main one I have, though. The main thing I'd probably say, now this is going to be really basic, but I think is just the strategy of the game. Now, I get that sounds like obvious, Brennan, like, wow, can you do something original in your life? And to that I say, no. I love this sound. But I love strategy because, especially when I beat Brilliant Diamond, I want to try and do a Nuzlocke. And I think a Nuzlocke really interests me because of the strategy that it takes to actually do a Nuzlocke. You know which you have to decide which Pokemon are least useful to teams, to your team, if you have to use them as death fodder. So you're just like, I'm sorry, Wobbuffet, which are the least useful in my team, and you just throw them into the battlefield, and your Onix, or the gym leader's Onix, just one taps them. But I think that, there's a certain amount of strategy to Pokemon that you can't find in other games like Call of Duty. Call of Duty and Fortnite. It's very RNG-based. Well, Pokemon is too, but to a certain... Fortnite and Call of Duty especially are really RNG-based. Like, Call of Duty, it's what type of damage your hits do. And Fortnite, it's what type of guns you get out of your chest. Now, I see Fortnite kind of strayed away from that with tents, but still... can't put a good weapon in your chest unless you find the good weapon first. But I think Pokemon really, you kind of have a notice, like, you know what you're going to find in certain routes, and you know what you need to make your team really, really beefy. For me, I needed a flying type, so I got a Starvia in Route 8, Route 208, which is wonderful. We love good old Starvia. He's wonderful. He can fly. Yeah. But yeah, I think there's a certain amount of strategy that goes into Pokemon that you really can't find in other games. Is there anything else you want to say, Mr. Mean Piece? Anything. It can be on Fortnite. It can be on Pokemon. Whatever.
Something. Well, first, this is just my favorite part about it's catchy and evolving.
Yes.
I think the thing that makes the game fun and even helps on the strategy, like you say, is having like over hundreds of Pokemon to catch them, especially if you play for your person and you don't know it's you.
I also kind of agree with you on the whole evolution thing. I think one of the best things about Pokemon is even after you beat the Elite Four, it's still a gym that you, or it's still a game that you can grind. Now obviously you don't have any main storylines or anything. That's what really keeps me into certain games like Pokemon. Is the storyline. I need a story to base my adventure off of. Not saying I don't like games without stories, it's just, I use story games as kind of like my moral compass, to a game. And I like to see, like, when you're about to battle the Elite Four, you have to really grind, because Elite Four, especially the gym, like the Elite Four leader, they are very, very beefy. And I like to think that you can sit there for hours and grind your team up to where they're just beefy as crap. Where they're perfect, where you can just be willing to battle them all out. And I think you can get, I think one of the best things about Pokemon games especially is you could get hundreds of hours out of one game because of how much grinding you have to do. Now, I'm a personal big fan of grinding. I love grinding. It can get annoying, especially when you have to grind a bunch, and when you grind a bunch and you go to fight the big boss, and they just absolutely curb stomp the crap out of you. But I think that watching and grinding is a very fun thing to do, because you can watch as your team, like you said, as they evolve, as they get more beefy. I just like getting the most beefiest team in the game and just walking up to these level ones that are just now leaving their hometown, and they're like, let's battle! And I'm just like, child, you don't wanna... I'm just like,
child, you don't wanna battle. And I'll be like, child, you don't wanna battle me, promise.
My Professor Rowan. But yeah, I think that's a certain extent to Pokemon that's really appealing to me. It's just grinding. Alright, Meat Piece, if you have anything else to say it, because we're about to close out. Any topics you want to cover that we haven't covered, like on Fortnite or Pokemon? You pretty much said everything you want to say.
Yeah.
Alright, well, I don't have anything else I want to say, really. I've said everything that comes with these two topics. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I will let you go. Thank you, Mean Peace, for joining me for our first episode of the podcast. I hope Christian will be here for our second. You can expect, especially, a episode Wednesday. You'll expect one next week at Wednesday, around 9 p.m. Central Time. This one will be filming. We may drop some surprise episodes if we just wake up one morning and we're just like, I want to do a podcast. And Nolan will just be like, yeah. Hey, you want to do something? Podcast. All right, well, without further ado, Mean Peace, thank you for joining me. And dear listener, thank you for joining us for our first episode of KiwiCast. I hope you subscribe to the podcast as we keep going on our adventure. I'm sorry that we were a little bit bad. This is our first episode of a podcast, so you're going to have to kind of stick with us as we kind of learn the ropes and stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, dear viewers, thank you for watching. Nolan, thank you for joining me, and goodbye.